Good morning. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
I couldn't tell if you were applauding Patrick or that I got up here. Whatever. I'm assuming it's for Patrick. This week starts a four-week series on evangelism. And if you know me, you know that's kind of a favorite topic of mine. I was not scheduled to speak today. I asked to speak today, and Daniel allowed me to speak today. And on this, but I'm going to give a lesson, and you'll wonder why, what in the world that has to do with evangelism. But it does. And so, the Bible is about God creating the world and us and everything in it, and then man messing it up by sinning, and which brought suffering, death, and all the problems that exist in the world is because of our sin. But God knew that and knew we'd mess up, and he had a plan to save us even before he created the world through Christ and through the church. And the Bible just kind of reveals how he did that and has planned that. And the encouragement is for us then to, so that we could live honoring him and have a forever relationship with him, and that we might help others while we're here, and that's how we honor God, by helping them to understand that God loves them and that he wants them to be saved as well. And so what Patrick just read is also referred to often as the Great Commission, where God sent out his disciples, his followers, to go and spread the word. And he doesn't have another plan for the world except for us to go and do that. And so that is a focus. But as happens in life, there are a lot of things happen in life, if you hadn't noticed. And there's deaths and sickness and families and births and all kinds of things that go on in life. And it's very easy to get distracted by all those things. And so by a lot of issues in life, some of them are not easy to deal with, but they cause us to lose focus on why God put us here. And I want to try my best today to help us keep that focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. Okay? But I'm going to do some things that are going to cause you to lose focus. And then I hope I can bring you back. I may lose you here and you may not come back, but I hope that you will. Okay, I'm going to read a statement here. I know you're not understanding what I'm talking about, but you will. I'm going to read a statement here that was written on Friday, October 19th, 2 days ago. It's a joint communique or letter or something. Alan Wright wrote it. Part of it was from the elders, and part of it was from him, and he wrote it as if the elders were writing this, and the elders have read it and all that, and have not had any problem with what's said. So I'm going to read it as it is written here. says, for the last 3 years, the elders have initiated changes in which we believe are beneficial for the upbuilding and growth of the church. In making these changes, some unintentional hurt and misunderstandings occurred that were never completely resolved. The elders met with Alan on October 5th and 18th, and some met with him privately and in between those times. It was stated that no one intentionally harmed one another, and both sides agreed that they would approach this differently if we could do it over again. In these meetings, forgiveness was offered and given, and discussion of a path forward was begun. However, after some consideration, Alan and Julia have decided that the path that would lead to a greater peace, a more harmonious unity of direction, and strengthening of the body at Central would be to seek a ministry elsewhere. As of today, Alan will no longer be a part of the staff, and the elders thank him for his work and pray for his and Julia's success in the Lord. And that's the part I thought I might lose you, okay? And I know that's, for some, that's unexpected. For others, not as unexpected. But I asked to do this lesson on purpose. I relate to Alan. He's been a preacher and a missionary, and I've been a preacher and a missionary. And he's been one of my closest friends here, and still is, and all. And I've left 12 congregations, okay, as a preacher and a missionary or whatever. And I didn't die, and I didn't lose my teeth or anything out of all that. And I continued to honor God and serve God in a different place. And God blessed me. In fact, I think when I left Tomsk in Siberia, I left the church there where I tried to train the younger men. And I think the church has been much better off after I left than when I was there, because I don't think they would have grown like they've grown individually had I remained there. So sometimes leaving is a better thing than staying. You have to help people. But obviously sometimes it's not an easy decision, and it's hard on folks because we love each other. If we don't love each other, then we don't care. But if you love, then you care. And so the important thing about me leaving or Alan leaving or whatever is not about us. It is about the kingdom of God and advancing that kingdom. And that's important. And when I left, I continued, the church there continued to preach the gospel, and I continued to preach the gospel and share the gospel. Okay, and that's what's important. Now, I want to put this in a biblical perspective, and I want to give you a way to look at this that probably you weren't thinking about, but I hope that you will, and I hope that it will be encouraging to you. Turn to, if you have a Bible, turn to Acts 15, 36 through 41, and the AV team is great, and I didn't know I was going to do this, of course, since Friday, till Friday, so they put it up there on the board so you can read along with me. In fact, I'll read it off that. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." And Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay? So you have a situation here where you have two brothers. And if you know anything about Paul and Barnabas, you know they were... Barnabas, when Paul was converted, nobody wanted to have anything to do with him because he had a reputation for wrecking the church. But Barnabas came along and took him in and kind of stood up for him again with the elder, with the apostles and with everybody else. So I think Barnabas is a pretty strong character, okay, to do that, and a great man of God for doing that, and which is probably why his name is, he's known as Son of Encouragement. Okay, and then he went with Paul on his first missionary journey and went through all kinds of difficulties and everything. And so when they got done with that, they had to be really, you know, if you go through all the kinds of stuff they went through, you would be closer than brothers, I think. And so you know they have to have a great love for each other and be very close to each other. But they had a plan. Let's say, let's go back and strengthen these churches. And of course, that would also involve reaching out and sharing the gospel with others and all these kind of things. Good plan, right? They want to go out and do some more good, reach some more, and help the new Christians and build up the churches and reach more people. But they did not. They couldn't agree on how to do it. It wasn't that they both wanted to serve God and do it the right way, but they could not reach an agreement about how to do it. It wasn't about what to do. It was a matter of, well, should we do this or this? And of course, Barnabas, being an encourager, wanted to take John Mark with him. John Mark was his cousin, by the way, if you didn't know that. And he wanted to take him there. But John Mark had gone with him on the first one, but he kind of quit on him real early. And so Paul didn't think it was wise to take him. Now, I don't know why Paul thought that. You might say, well, I don't want to take a quitter, but I don't think that was probably the reason. I think the reason was he might have been afraid, well, we're going to be going through some perilous stuff, which he later did, and was stoned and beaten and all kind of, and thrown in prison and all kinds of things. And so he thought maybe John Mark, being a young man, might not have been able to handle all that at that time, and it might have destroyed his faith. So that I don't know. I'm speculating, but there's a reason that Paul didn't want to take him. Okay. But there was a reason that Barnabas wanted to take Mark. He wanted to build him up, and he thought he could be useful in the kingdom, and he wanted to strengthen him. Who was right? Both of them. Does it matter? Really? Nobody focused on who was right and who was wrong. They were in sharp disagreement. But it wasn't a matter of one was right and one was wrong. They're both what? Trying to advance the kingdom. They're both trying to serve God. They're both trying to do right. They just didn't agree on how. So, what did they do? Well, Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus, which was, by the way, his home. Okay, he took him home, maybe where John Mark's relatives were too. I don't know. Okay, but he took him there. And we don't know any more about that, at least immediately, what happened. But then we have, what did Paul do? Well, he chose Silas and went where? Went to the mission field. And now, how did the church deal with that? Did they say, well, let's see, how many are for Paul? How many are for Barnabas? No, they didn't do that. And I hope, and it doesn't talk about it, but I'm assuming they didn't sit around and gossip about it, which one was right, which one was wrong, and all this kind of thing, about their personalities and all that kind of stuff. They didn't do any of that stuff. What they did was what? What does the Scripture say? It says, but Paul chose Silas and left commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Okay? They, if you notice, it says they parted company. Okay? They separated, but they went what? The church what? Commended them to the grace of God to go and do this work. I love the church at Antioch. I was always wondering about a model church, and probably if there's a model church in the New Testament, it'd be Antioch. Okay? You know what was neat about it? They were sending people out instead of trying to get them to come there. Most churches are always trying to get people to come there to help them. They're sending them out to help others. Very unselfish. Okay? Because we often, our natural self is, all right, what does this mean for me? How does this affect me? Okay, that's our natural self. But our spiritual self says, okay, what's best for the kingdom? You know, what can I do that's best for the kingdom? How do I help strengthen the kingdom and spread the word? Okay, so they both continued to serve God and multiplied the work. Now, were they enemies? No. They loved each other. Later, in Paul commends Barnabas in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He commends Barnabas. And later, we find in Colossians 4:10, Mark was included in Paul's group, also in Philemon, verse 24. And then in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul requested Mark be with him in his final days. So God worked all that out. Barnabas and Mark, John Mark and Paul and Zion, all of them continued to spread the kingdom. Paul had that view in Philippians 1. Paul was in prison and he was writing to the Philippians about it, and he said, you know, I'm in prison, and that's kind of encouraged others to kind of step up, you know, and take up the slack and preach where I wasn't. He said, but some people are doing that and they don't have the right motives. But he says, who cares? He says, I still rejoice because what? Because the gospel of Jesus is being preached. That's what he was focused on, that the kingdom is spread, the gospel is preached, you know, wherever, by whoever. You know, and so I hope we see that that's what's important, is that the kingdom is advanced, that people who are lost hear the gospel. Okay? It's not about personalities or whatever. In fact, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians, where the people are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. And Paul says, I didn't die for you. You know? Alan didn't die for you. The elders didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. And if you ever heard Alan's sermons, you know he always emphasized Jesus. Okay? That's what's important. Okay? And that's what we're called to. And so they continued to love one another and to spread the gospel. And they didn't stop the work for anything. So, how do we handle the situation? Are we focused on personalities or are we focused on spreading the kingdom? Okay. I told you, Alan's one of my closest friends. He's been a great blessing. I've known him. I've never been any place 16 years in my life before, as I've been here. So I've gotten some closer friends here than I've ever had. And I've appreciated his friendship and still do. And I know that many of you, he's touched your lives with his lessons. My wife and I love his lessons. I've appreciated what we've gained from him and he and Julia. Julia's, I think, probably sometimes worth twice what he is, but she's a great, humble servant of God and very evangelistic and a very kind and a gentle spirit. And they've been a blessing to many of you. Many of you have known them for many years, and they've been, they may have done your family weddings or baptisms or funerals for family members or whatever, but they've been involved in your life. You know, and so you have an appreciation for them as I do. Okay. I also, several of the elders are some of my closest friends here. I tend to go toward people who are interested in spiritual things. Okay. And several of them are some of my closest friends. And I love and appreciate them. And I know that they spend a lot of hours here. Nobody's paying them anything. They're just voluntarily serving God because we as a congregation and the Holy Spirit appointed them to be our shepherds. And so I appreciate them and their hard work and their love for the congregation here. They don't have to do this. Okay, they just do it out of love and service to God. And so, who's right and who's wrong? There aren't right and there aren't wrong. Alan's always right, but who's right and who's wrong? There's none of that stuff, okay? We're just, I know without a shadow of a doubt that Alan is going to continue on serving God and honoring God and trying to be a blessing to whoever he comes in contact with. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that our elders are going to try to do their very best to honor God and serve this congregation and help us to try to reach and share the gospel and reach out to lost people and try to help them come to Christ as well and to know that he loves them. Having said all that, let me encourage you to love on Alan and Julia and encourage them every way you can. And love on the elders and encourage them every way you can. Okay? Because they're brothers and believe it or not, they like each other. Okay? They love each other just as Paul and Barnabas did. They have different ideas about things, but they still love each other. They're brothers. They've been friends for many, many years, and I'm sure we'll continue to be. Okay, so I'm going to ask Alan and the elders to come up here. And the first thing, Alan's got something he wants to say to the congregation, so I'm going to let him say that. And then I'm going to have a prayer with all of them. And then after the Lord's Supper, then several of the elders are going to share with you some stuff about, some encouragement about Alan and all them. So, but Alan, I'll go ahead.
Well, thank you, Jim, for those kind and wise words. 12 congregations that he left. I had sat there and was counting mine. And he beats me. So last night, I wrote up some thoughts to share with you. And after sleeping on and thinking about these things, both Julia and I were uncomfortable. I shared them with Julia. And she was uncomfortable, and I was uncomfortable with those words. And so these words, I think, from Scripture better reflect our thoughts as we leave, better than anything else that we could think of. And so I'll just read these words from the Scriptures. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him, in him, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And then this is my prayer to you. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us. Even though we're mortal and sinful and weak at times, we know you continue to love us and bless us. I'm thankful for all of these brothers here and for Robert who's watching. I pray that you'll continue to bless all of us and help us to continue to honor you, to continue to serve you, to continue to build up your kingdom, to continue to try to bless others. And I pray that we'll continue to love each other, build each other up, and strengthen each other. That's our love for each other and for you is the greatest witness we have. I pray that you'll continue to bless all these men. Be with Alan and Julia as they continue on and bless their work and their efforts. And I pray that you'll bless the elders here and this congregation here and help us to continue to grow and honor you and help others and bring others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Following the communion, we'll have some more thoughts, but I'm supposed to offer an invitation or whatever. I guess that's our customary thing. But I hope you, I know this is an unusual service. You've probably never not been in one. I haven't been in one like it, but But I hope you see what's important is God and Christ and love and serving Him in the kingdom. We're here because of all He's done for us. And it's not about us, it's about Him and our honoring Him in our lives. So, if you're here and you are not in Christ, God loves you and Jesus died for you, and we want you to know that, and we want to love you and help you in any way we can. And so if you have that need, the elders will be up here and stand ready to help you in any way they can. And if you have a need, another need that they can help you with, they stand ready to do that while we stand and sing.
Now for something usual. I was trying to reflect what I would say today, and thinking about the sacrifice and the salvation that our God has brought to us. And I read a psalm written by David that seemed to capture it. And so I'm going to read Psalm chapter 40 from the International Children's Bible. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. And later on, he's going to say the sticky mud was his own sin. And that's, of course, exactly where every one of us have been. We've all been in that sticky mud. He took me out of the sticky mud, and He stood me on a rock. He made my feet steady. He put a new song in my mouth. It was a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship Him, and then they will trust in the Lord. Happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. He doesn't turn to those who are proud or to those who worship false gods. Lord our God, You have done many miracles. Your plans for us are many. If we tried to tell them all, there would be too many to count. You do not want sacrifices and offerings, but You have made, this is an unusual phrase here, but You have made a hole in my ear to show that my body and my life are Yours. You do not ask for burnt offerings and offerings to take away sins. Now, he's talking about animal sacrifice offerings there, not, obviously, we have the sacrifice and the offering that did make a difference once for all of us, for all time, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus. But he's saying, even then, David recognized those animal sacrifices, that's not taking away sin. That's not doing what we need. Then I said, look, I have come. It is written about me in the book. My God, I want to do what You want. Your teachings are in my heart. And then he goes on to say, kind of in keeping with the theme of the evangelism, he starts talking about this great salvation that God has given him and how he wants to tell everybody about it. He says, I will tell about Your goodness in the great meeting of Your people. Lord, You know my lips are not silent. I do not hide Your goodness in my heart. I speak about it, about Your loyalty and salvation. I do not hide Your love and truth from the people in the great meeting. Lord, do not hold back Your mercy from me. Let Your love and truth always protect me. Troubles have gathered around me. There are too many to count. What are those troubles? My sins have caught me. I cannot see a way to escape. I have more sins than hairs on my head. I have lost my courage. Please, Lord, save me. Hurry, Lord, to help me. People are trying to kill me. Shame them and disgrace them. People want to hurt me. Let them run away in disgrace. People are making fun of me. Let them be shamed into silence. But let those who follow You, that's us, be happy and glad. They love You for saving them. May they always say, praise the Lord. Lord, I am poor and helpless, but please remember me. You are my helper and my Savior. My God, do not wait. We're about to take communion, a little piece of bread to remind us of the body that was sacrificed, a cup of juice to remember the blood that was shed that saved us all. It is the salvation, and in so doing, it is our way, one of the many ways, but one of the ways that we say, praise the Lord. So let's pray for the bread. Dear God, praise your name. You have saved us. You saved us from ourselves, from the sin that we couldn't escape. And we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, that instant in time when his life was taken and our lives were given back. Dear God, please help everyone who takes this today to take it with gladness and joy in their heart for the salvation that you have shown us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Dear God, we join together as believers in this room and in this world. We know there's people in every corner of the world that praise your name just as we do, that recognize the importance of Jesus' sacrifice for us all. And so we join together in praising your name. We take this cup to remember the blood that was shed, the blood that was the only thing that could take away all our sins. And we praise your name for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
morning, Central Family. I have a statement from the elders, and I want to thank Brother Jim for doing that lesson. A lot of times we find it hard to not always understand what God's will is. And my father would always say, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do and you believe his word, he will always place you in the presence of people and put you where you need to be at that point in time in history. With that being said, we want to say thank you to Alan and his family for their love, not just for us, but for the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that their words have encouraged, beginning with his dad and Alan taking up the reign, if you will, to continue in his father's footsteps, to preach the gospel of reconciliation, not only here at Central, but to the whole world. Loving family isn't always easy. We don't always see eye to eye. We don't always agree. But that doesn't mean that we don't love each other and love them through every situation that they go through. That's part of being a family. It's part of being united. That's part of being one in Christ. To reiterate some of the things Jim has said, we are writing you today, the elders, with heavy hearts. The elders and Alan have been struggling. And this has become evident to some of you. The elders want to apologize for any pain or confusion this may have caused. We take this situation very seriously and have been committed to resolving it in a way that is pleasing to God and honoring to our congregation. As we begin a time of prayer and fasting, we ask God for guidance and wisdom. And I wanted to interject that we are here today because Jesus died for each and every one of us. It is his blood that unites us in faith, in hope, and in love. As we ask God for guidance and wisdom, the elders know that many of you will have questions. And we want to assure all of you that the elders will be transparent with you throughout this entire process. However, the elders also ask your patience and understanding as we work through this time. We please refrain from commenting or posting your thoughts about this on social media. Such talk is not productive and does not lead to godliness and peace. If you have any questions or concerns, please come and talk to us, that being the elders. We appreciate your prayers and support during this time. May God bless his family here. With the love of Christ, Rondell, Jamie, Chip, and Robert. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Chip, and most of you know who I am. And I wanted to make sure, and the elders wanted to make sure that we gave an acknowledgement of the contributions that Alan has provided to our congregation. I think it's fitting and proper to do that at this time. One thing I think we should keep in mind at Central as we move forward is to always be taking stock of things, good things that happen, so that we can remember that and it can encourage and strengthen us. You know, Alan, I first met Alan when they moved to town in 1987. They moved into a house just down the street from me and Laura and my family, and we got to be great friends, and we really enjoyed serving the Lord with them and working with them at Central in the late 80s. In the early 90s, Alan decided to move to Fiji to take up his father's work in Fiji and do it, and he did that for many years as well. I know it was more than 10 years, and I don't know exactly how much it is, but in that time, I moved away, and Alan had moved away as well, but then we rejoined in 2010. But before that, Alan had returned from Fiji, and he had through different things that happened, he eventually was asked to preach on Sunday mornings and do that kind of work. In the meantime, he had been doing, he and Julia and their whole family, they have three children, and they were, their children were great friends with our children, and we love spending time with them, and our children still love spending time with their children. So it's a great strengthening thing that we have with them. We also, as when we moved back here in 2010 frame, we got to listen to a lot of the sermons that Alan had preached, and they were very encouraging to us and built us up and strengthened us, and we're very happy for having had that experience. And so there, those are the things that you probably saw publicly, the coming and the going and the preaching and things like that, but there were many, many, many other things that people in this audience could probably tell that happened behind the scenes without any fanfare whatsoever. I do know I worked with him on a situation about 10 years ago where a woman had, an older woman of about my age, had been converted and dedicated her life to Christ, and almost immediately had a terrible illness and became an invalid. And it required many times she was only able to be a member from the standpoint of having letters with us and visits from us. And Alan and Julia took her up as a project. Eventually, the woman became so sick and infirm that her family rejected her, and she became a ward of the state. And she moved to different facilities around Alabama where she could be cared for. And Alan and Julia made sure that she was taken care of, and visited her until her death eventually. And it was a great thing. But there are many more stories like that that can be told. And it's been a pleasure and an encouragement and a great strength for me to have had that association with the Wright family. Christmas devotionals that we got with their family, and they would bring their whole family here for a reunion and almost double our size on that Sunday when they would all come back here and worship with us. And it's a great tribute to having a strong family. Both of us have the privilege and a gift and blessing of having strong families that encourage us to do what we need to do in the church, and some of you do. And so some of you also do, and I appreciate that. But if you don't, we hope that this family here that meets on Sunday morning is one that can be a substitute and be a part of that family blessing for you as well. We are, as Steve mentioned before, we come together and we take a communion, and part of that is sitting down as a family, as a meal together, and remembering the reason that we're here. And so we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you being a part of our family here at Central, and we thank you for that. And that concludes my comments, and I'm not sure what happens next. Jamie. Thank you.
Before I give my thoughts too, I would like to extend Jim's call for prayer, request for prayer. He asked that y'all pray for the elders and pray for Alan and Julia. I ask that you pray for our wives, the elders' wives, who are also in a moment of challenge too. But I also ask that you pray for Drew and Claudia. This is a tough time for everyone. And we love you all. The impact, Alan, that you've made on Central, and Julia and Drew, is significant and can't be recognized appropriately in just a few moments that we have here. My story is kind of like Chip's and kind of different than Chip's. I met Alan in 1988 in Miami Airport on the way to the mission field to go to Guyana. I was all of, I think, 19 years old, and I was brought into Alan's life at that point in time as comic relief. Alan will have to tell you the stories about that. He enjoys telling stories about young Jamie, and they are admittedly pretty ridiculous. From spending that time with Alan in Guyana, and through my, and as I came to Central later on, as I was co-oping here and in college, and spending time with Alan in his driveway, looking at stars, talking about life. Alan was a very significant influence on my life as a young guy. And I have a great deep love and fondness for Alan and Julia and the advice that they've given me, for the premarital counseling that they gave me and Jan, and helped set us in the right direction. Alan married us. And not too long thereafter, he flew off to Fiji, and much to my and Jan's disappointment. When we were moving back from Texas to here, we were excited to hear that Alan was trying to do the same thing, except coming from Fiji. And as I've been here and worked in different ministries at the church here and watched Alan work with so many different folks in different ways, people within the body, people outside the body, helping them to find Christ and helping them to understand what it means to live faithfully, and in some cases with couples, how to live faithfully together. It's been astonishing to see his work. The hole that we're going to feel without Alan and Julia is significant. And all the elders, but right now I'm talking, especially me, love you deeply. And just like Jim talked about, you know, Paul and Barnabas had their issues. But very clearly in Scripture, something happened and there was a reconciliation. And that's what the elders are praying for. That's what I deeply hope for. I want to close in a prayer, and I'd like to encourage you, if you feel that Alan has been a significant part of your life, that he has encouraged you and helped you in your faith walk to stand and join me in prayer. God, it is times like this in family that are hard. We love the good times, and all we can do is hope and depend on you to get us through the tough times. I pray that you will be with Alan and Julia. I don't know what the next step is. I mean, this is all pretty new, so I assume none of us do, just you. But I ask that you would lead each of us, Alan and Julia, Drew and Claudia, the elders, this congregation, as we move forward, that you'd bring comfort and encouragement. God, I ask that you would bring special encouragement to Alan. Help us as a people as we go through this transition to bring honor where honor is due, and honor is much due to Alan. Help us to love one another deeply from the heart. And God, we just ask that despite all this bump in the road that we're going through, that only faith may grow and that your word may spread. Encourage us through this week. Draw us closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. And you're dismissed.